Last week, we ended what we have been teaching about the image of Christ. But of course, as you understand, just like the Bible has been divided into chapters and verses and different portions, most of those things are just for ease of reference. Are you getting what I'm saying? In the same manner, when we say we are any one topic and going into the next, in reality, it's the same thing we are still saying. Are you getting my point? You know, we are saying it under different topics just to make it more interesting to flow with. Okay, at the end of the day, what we are trying to arrive at is the fear of God. What we are trying to arrive at is the service of God, that is, by doing the will of God in our lives, we want to learn how to walk in a manner pleasing to God. That's the summary of it. All right, let's get into our message for today. I said we are beginning a new series today, which is titled Creative Power. Now, I told you before, I gave another title, but then I've decided to change the words to what? Creative Power. If there's a message I said we should get then, which is titled, To Rule Over Cities or something like that. And another one, which some of the things I want to share in this series, I've already shared them in there. And if you listen to them, it will really bless you. Now, let me make a few points before we start on the core of the message itself. And the first point I want to make again is for us to understand that the life of a believer is different from the life of the world. Please, you must never forget that thing. The life of a Christian is very different from the life of that person who is not a believer. You've heard me say this before, and I say it again. If somebody tells me that, look, these principles work for even Muslims, I am no longer interested. It's not because it doesn't work. It's because I'm reaching for something higher than that. Because what I'm reaching for, the Bible says, works by faith. You know, he said it has to be by faith that it might be in accordance with grace. Are you getting my point? So if you are going to walk by a faith that is not the faith of Jesus Christ, and it will have something work for you, I'm not really angry. I mean, Muslims eat. Are you getting me? They eat carbohydrates, glucose, fats, proteins, minerals, and vitamins, and they do well. And we also do that. It's just that when we gather in church, when we are sitting down around the Word of God, I believe that we should be getting something that is beyond that which is common to all mankind. You get the point I'm making. And I think Christians should always reach for that. Anytime people say something, you should realize that your case is literally different. Let me say that again. Your case is what? Literally different. If something happens to the world, Jesus told the disciples, he said, the hearts of men will fail them when they behold the things that are coming upon the earth. He said, but you, I like the word, but you. That is, your case is not the same. He said, under such circumstances, you should lift up your head. Rejoice because your redemption draws near. Are you getting my point? That is, the same thing happens to everybody, but you realize that what is going to come out of your own situation is different from what they are going to experience. That is, the way my pastor said those days, that Joseph was not the only one in prison. Are you getting my point? There were many people in prison. And there were many people who died in prison. And there were many people who were in prison, and they were not there just, that is, was an unjust imprisonment. In fact, you know, just before I came this afternoon, I watched a program on TV that was describing the problems in the American justice system. Don't let me digress too much by talking about that. All right? And then they were showing that there's this new, I think it's the first black attorney general in the city of Dallas. And then the man is practicing a different kind of justice that, listen, it's not a game between the prosecutors and the defense. Who's smarter? Let him win. He says it's about truth, it's about justice. If as a prosecutor you find out that this evidence will show that that man is not guilty, don't hide it. You're not trying to win a case. You are trying to administer justice. Are you getting my point? And the guy has been good. I mean, some of the things they found out, there are people who were in prison for 22 years unjustly because the prosecutors withheld an evidence that they knew would release the man. They wanted to win a case. Are you getting the point? Now, that's just by the way. When I saw it, my heart, I felt very bad. Yeah, you get what I'm saying? Now, but the point I'm making is this. Joseph was not the only person in prison unjustly. With all the technology in America, people go to jail wrongly. But the difference between him and the other people wrongly imprisoned is that he was going to come out as prime minister in Egypt. He was going to be vindicated. The covenant of God upon his father was going to be shown in his life. You are getting my point? So despite the fact that he was in prison, if he had the understanding that we have now because we have studied his life, he will rejoice knowing that his redemption is drawing near. Joseph was not in prison for 2 years. He was not in prison for 3 years. I don't know the exact number of years. I think maybe more like from the time he was sold into slavery till he mounted the throne in Egypt was something close to 13 years. That's the way it works. Let me just use that one to encourage you again. The promise of God are not usually in a hurry to come the way you think they should be. David was anointed king when he was 17. He took over the throne when he was 30. Are you getting the point I'm making? So don't feel like the fact that the promises of God you received many years ago have not yet come to pass, then you heard wrongly. Then you believed wrongly. Noel Ikea Kanam, the pastor of one good church in Asaba, there taught us something many years ago. Where he told us a story about a man he was encouraging. The man started a church in Benin, and he was helping him. Because the man said he had a great vision. So he gave the man some money to rent a place, buy some chairs, and begin to teach the word of God. And after about a year or two, the man came back to him. After some time anyway, not a very long time, the man came to him and said that this was not what I saw. That in fact, he's closing the place down and he's moving. Now listen to this. This is a mystic. He's moving to Lagos. Why? What is the attraction in Lagos? Because the same word you preach that draws 20 people in Benin, simple by geographical activity, we draw 200 in Lagos. It doesn't mean you are more anointed. It's just that there are more people there. And when there are more people, there are more good people and there are more muguns. You know, everything gathered together will swell your number. On Sunday, there are people who go to church. They don't care what they are saying. It is Sunday. We can't be at home. So that man, he decided that, no, he's going that way. So this man said, look, he looked at him and said, this is a mistake. This man didn't understand that God doesn't show you the picture of the process. He shows you the picture of the end. Are you getting my point? You are going somewhere far. Right now, you have to struggle. I like the way John Alexander Dowie said in the letter to his wife. He said, look, all I know is that I'm going somewhere near the mountain, on the mountaintop, but between me and the mountaintop, there is a valley. And that valley has mist covering it. That mist came out from the waters that is in the valley. I have to wade through the water. I have to walk through mist that does not allow me to see far. He said, but one thing I'm sure of is I will never turn back because I know exactly where I'm going. Now, there are problems. There are trials. There are challenges. It was a letter he wrote to his wife. You know, that look, don't let your father discourage you. Because father was telling him how the kind of husband that she married, how irresponsible he is. You get what I'm trying to say? It's not following the path of every other person. As you know, most of us, our parents would rather us get decent jobs, wake up in the morning, go to the office, you know, report at 8 o'clock, close at 4, you know, get a regular salary, and, you know, wait for pension one day. You know, the last time I was talking to my mom about this, I told my mom, I said, listen, the day of pension, the way you know it, don't pass. I said, now you contribute to your own pension. Because there was a discussion about my brother getting a job. He applied for a job in NNPC. And then finally he's working in Celtel. So she was saying that she would have preferred the NNPC job. I said, why? I said, government job. I said, government job. I said, was NITEL not government job until a few years ago? I said, NITEL was government job, wasn't it? I said, I better forget the days of government job. Recently, somebody called me and said, please help so-and-so person look for work. He was laid off some time ago and doesn't have work yet. And I thought to myself, this person he had saying I should help is much older than me. And I said that, they laid him off 2 years ago and he's still hanging around looking for a job. He's still hanging around looking for a job. He has not created a job. In these few years of being laid off, what great opportunity God gave him. He has not used it. Anyway, let's leave that aside. But the point I'm making is that, so a lot of parents are like that because they don't want you to struggle. You know, sometimes I think about parents. I wish I could tell them something. Do you, you see, they think they are doing that of love, but really it's not. You know, once I told you that, my mother and I told you the story then. One day we were discussing. She said, your mates are building houses. I said, how many of my mates are teaching the way of success? Now, told her simply. Then my wife had not yet delivered. So I said, how many of my mates are having 4 children this year? I said, my mates are building houses. I said, how many of them have 7 books published? How many of them have almost 10 books completed on their computers ready for publishing? My mates are building houses. Let me give you a testimony, which I will use to preach on radio maybe for next week. A few days ago, you know, the new laptop that I use, I didn't know low current used to blow things. Low current, I'm saying. When you see current, never giving you 60 volts, turn off your electronics. They will go dead. Cut the long story short, it blew my converter. I felt very bad. It hurt me deeply. I laid hands on the converter. It didn't wake up immediately, but I said, you will wake up. My Lazarus died for 4 days. You will wake up. So I finally took my converter down to one man who helped me look at it. And cut the long story short, he repaired it. But now, while I was going there, when I was coming down from there, one man drove up to park. He just said, Now listen, he did it. I didn't know him from anywhere. I can't remember if he walked in here and I won't recognize him. He just drove in to park beside where I parked. I was coming down from the building. He just saw me. He said, "Pastor Banky, you are a blessing to my family." And that's a greeting. That was good morning. Now, are you getting my point? Listen, I don't know him. We didn't greet each other. I just told him, "Oh, bless you, sir." Entered my car and left. We didn't greet each other. I don't know him. He didn't even say good morning, sir, or anything. He just said, "Oh, Pastor Banky, you are a blessing to my family." That was his good morning to me. On the streets. It was around 9 o'clock in the morning. Now, listen to me. So when my mother said, "Your mates are building houses," I said, "What's my problem? How many of my mates get that kind of greeting in the morning?" No, that is the point. You have to make up your mind what really excites you. Well, how are you counting your life? Do you get the point I'm making? No, I said, look, I'm not in a rat race with anybody. There's a race set before me. That race is different from your race. We run on different tracks. I compete against myself. The banker of this year has just defeated the banker of last year. And the one of this year will lose against that one of next year. That's why I'm going. You get the point I'm trying to make? I said, sometimes parents don't understand what they're trying to do. They are helping their children enter into a mediocre life. Listen, you can't give parents as any excuse. The violent take it by force. You take the kingdom of God by what? By force. So that I just told my mom, simply say, forget that side. There is a reason why I was born. That's the one I'm running after. I've told you before, blessings in this life, if you want it, ask for it. Don't struggle for it. Wake up in the morning, there is nothing wrong with desiring anything. I'm going to talk in this series on this creative power, on the fact that everything is possible to him that believes. Chika, you know what I found out? Thinking about that. That we think it like this, that everything is possible if you can believe. That is one. But secondly, what he was saying is that the one that believes cannot understand why you think it's impossible. I don't know whether you get my point. He's telling you this can be done. And you say, no, I doesn't know what's wrong with you. Can't you see? Are you blind? This can be done. Jesus said, that's how it is to the one that believes. We have looked at it as if, look, if you believe, God can do anything for you. No, that is correct. But what Jesus was saying actually is that once a man believes, he cannot see the impossibility in what you are talking about. If he says we are going to build a skyscraper that will have 700 floors, once he believes it, listen, no matter what you say, he just can't understand why you can't see it. And then eventually, now please notice something. He said it's possible. Some of them get discouraged. They don't end up not doing it. But then if the man will set out to do it, Jesus said nobody can stop him. Do you get the point I'm making? And that's just the way life is. Let nobody discourage you. We are going to talk about that. So if you want a blessing in life, no matter how wild, listen, just ask God for it and relax. Let me tell you what God will do. We'll discuss that again. He will use the process of time and instructions in the word to bring your heart to the position of really believing. And once you are fully persuaded, forget it, it will happen. So you wake up in the morning. Listen, you heard me say this before. People say, you go to America, go to England, you see life there, you don't want to come back. I said, no, that's not the way it is with me. Morning is that whatever can happen there can happen anywhere. Therefore, I told myself, if I was living in America, listen to this, the kind of car I would have driven, I have made up my mind before God I would drive in Nigeria. Because the same God is rich unto all that call upon him. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. I've just made up my mind about it. Because then I told one of my friends, I said, look, if I was living in Houston with you guys, I would drive this and drive this. Then after I said it, I said, so Banky, if you're not living in Houston, it can't be done. I said, Lord, I'm very sorry. So I made up my mind instantly. Wherever I am, this is what, and how are you going to get it? Nothing. I just get down in my house. The same way I would have gotten it there, I'll get it here. I'll get on my knees and ask God for his blessing. Jabez looked and said, oh, that you will bless me indeed. And the Lord answered his prayers. I noticed that Rebecca did not bear a child for 20 years after she married Isaac. At the end of 20 years, the Bible said that Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife Rebecca's sake, and she conceived. I said, Brother Isaac, it took you 20 years to get that revelation. Good. But I have learned it from your life now. I will learn it early. Do you understand my point? Listen, by my prayer and blessing, I made my wife a billionaire. Look, listen. That's why, for those of you who might be interested in knowing, my wife has delivered a child every year for the last 3 years. It's funny, but let me tell you, it's a fact. Someone said, why? I said, yeah, because she's in a hurry. Let's get over with so we can move into a different realm. We won't spend the whole of life raising children. These early stages, relax at home, raise children. When they have grown beyond a particular level, that blessing with which I blessed you from the beginning will begin to manifest. I told her you will give a billion naira from your business to Kingdom World Ministries. And people who give a billion don't have just a billion. It's poor people that give with those might. Rich people give out of their abundance. I get my point. It's when you are struggling that you give 50 naira and it's your last 50 naira. When a rich man gives, he gives a billion, he has a billion in his pocket. Look, that's what the Bible says. You will super abound unto all liberality. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Listen, that's everything. The Bible says it's possible. Listen, one of my friends said something once. He had an issue when we had to pray about it. He said, listen, as far as it's concerned, it is settled. The only prayer point is asking us to pray for him every day is that pray that my faith will not fail. He said, once my faith doesn't fail, I know I have no problem. I got the revelation from that also. In life, make sure your faith does not fail. Be present at the teaching of the word of God so that your faith does not fail. And believe this. Hear me. That's why you are a believer. Listen, that is why you are what? A believer. Because there is a power, Paul explained, that works towards those that believe. One of my friends shared something with me some time ago, I think from Psalm 94. A prayer that David prayed. That he said, show us your mercy early. I was sharing with you the other day, Chike. I said, my message has gone to another level. That it's not just God, one day you will bless us. I said, no, early. Are you getting my point? That is, get ready, brethren. Something indeed is about to happen. I believe it. I believe it absolutely. I believe it. Because the natural things look like it. The Bible said, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, it was like a dream. If it follows the natural progression of things, like what my friend would say, without divine intervention, then it would not have been like a dream. It would not have been like a dream. I mean, have you ever slept? I mean, like maybe like you entered a car and after 4 hours you got to Benin. He says like a dream. What's the dream? In fact, it should be like a dream that I didn't get there to 1 hour ago. All the ghosts and bad road in the nature. I made you get there in 4 hours. Should have done it in 3 hours. Because the natural progression of things showed you that this is the time you will get there. Are you getting my point? But if like Philip, you left the Ethiopian eunuch and the spirit carries you to Azotus, it will be like a dream. Do you get my point? Listen, when God will turn again your captivity, it will indeed be like a dream. You see, there are things I've been teaching. Please, if you have not been around, please try and get some of those messages. If you have not listened to some of the things we've been teaching, please get the messages. Because some of the problems with people is that they ask questions like, how can these things be? Therefore, they refuse to believe. But you see, if you ask that kind of question with a sincere heart, sometimes God will oblige you an explanation. Mary asked the question, and the angel gave her an explanation. He said, don't worry about that. What happens is that, you see, at the beginning, now I'm stretching the explanation, all right, just to help you understand what the angel told Mary. He said, remember that in the beginning, the Spirit of God hovered over the surface of the waters. And then God said, that same Spirit would overshadow you. The same power that created at the beginning will create again inside you. Mary said, in that case, let it be unto me according to thy word. Are you getting my point? Because I didn't understand what you were saying before. Now I get the point. What am I trying to explain? That is, we have explained again and again that sometimes people say, how will it happen? Listen, there's nobody in life. Go and read Richard Branson's story. I've used to teach a number of times. Apart from most of those Americans, nobody, big man name you know. These guys of Google, the two boys, all right? They are men now, right? Boys that became men. When they started also, they didn't have money. Are you getting the point I'm making? They explained to the guy who owns Yahoo. The guy gave them a check for $100,000 and walked away. Said, this thing looks like a nice idea. Go and spend the money working on it. Do you get my point? That is, God sent men to help them. And what I'm saying is that when your time for blessing and manifestation comes, God will also send people to help you. And listen, you don't need to network. You don't need to beg people. Please help me. Are you getting my point? The time will come, people will... Do you understand the point I'm making? Listen, you don't need to beg men. When your time comes, the Bible says the king sent for him and loosed him. Oh, I just feel like saying this again. Because people have this mentality. Because they don't realize that their case is different. He said, your opportunity, you have to go to Lagos. Opportunity, you have to go to Port Harcourt. Opportunity, you have to go to Abuja. Opportunity. I said, where was David the day they anointed him king? Please get my point. Where was he? When they even got to his father's house, he wasn't there. Number one, his father was not living in the big city. When they got to his father's house, he was not even around. When they called everybody not around, they did not even call him. But because blessings have names, blessings don't move at random. You don't throw dice with blessings. Do you get the point? Because of that, Samuel said, no, the guy is not yet around. That oil, it was mixed and the bottle labeled David. Samuel couldn't pour it until David came. Do you understand my point? That means if David was in Abakiliki, Samuel would have had to travel to Abakiliki and go and say, look, David, where are you? Please get the point I'm making. You don't need, you know, this one. That's the opportunity is you have to go to Lagos. Listen, if your business takes you to Lagos, please, by all means, go to Lagos. Are you getting my point? But don't ever imagine that breakthrough will come because you went to Lagos. Not at all. Not at all. It will come because God says your time has what? Come. Please, I hope you get the point I'm making this evening. That's the thing with Christians. And you must understand this. Look, I preached a message and I wrote into a book also on what do you believe. And what I call the book is The Believer. Then listen, a lot of people call themselves believers. But they don't believe anything. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ died. If you know not who believed that on this earth, you'll be surprised. I believe he rose again. The Bible says that faith is a substance of things hoped for. That is, you have an expectation. The reason why you have an expectation is that the conviction of things not seen. All these ones you have said are the things not seen. They are not expectations. Jesus died 2,000 years ago. But a man that has faith has an expectation. That is, faith tells him that something like this will happen. It's not the one that has happened. So if your faith is not moving you towards something that will happen, then you don't believe anything. You are a Muslim. You are a Hindu. Are you getting my point? You are a Guru Maharaji. In fact, even them, they have more hope than a lot of Christians. Do you know that?
Yes.
They go praying, asking for something. Get my point? The Bible says faith has an expectation. And what marks you out, no, this is a fact. Your case, I said, is different. That is what draws everybody back and puts them in limitation, making them think. And of course, becomes reality because they think like that they can never amount to anything. He says it's not the case with the believer. Are you getting my point? I'm going to begin to speak to you, like I said, about creative power. As we see it, you will see that what the Spirit of God is doing is first creating things in your heart. And once he creates it inside your heart, listen, then you will utter words and the earth will respond. Do you get my point? When God said, let there be light, I've said it 10,000 times by now. Oh, not up to that, literally, but so many times. He did not speak English. He did not speak Hebrew. Because there was nobody there to hear it. But he uttered something that was inside his heart. And peradventure were there to hear it. Maybe all will have just heard this. But what matters is that utterance carried a picture. Are you getting my point? It carried a spirit that was inside him. That's why he could say it was good. Because it was good means I'm comparing to something that I know already. Do you get my point? So he looked and said, this is good. Which means he had a reference. God doesn't make discoveries, I've told you. He doesn't make discoveries. He said, light be. And then when he saw the light, he said, yes, it is good. That is, as I had it in my heart, that's exactly how it has manifested naturally. So he said, it is good. Every time he said something and it happened like that, he said, it is good. Are you getting my point? We need to understand that. So that's the foundation of what we're talking about. So let me first explain that for us to understand that, listen, you are different as a believer and you must expect things to happen to you differently. I'm from Ondo State. All right? I'm not from Enugu at all. At all, at all, at all. When I came to Enugu, people thought that, okay, your wife must be, they thought my wife was Ifeoma. My wife is not Ifeoma, she's Ufoma. There's a world of difference. Ifeoma is an Igbo name, Ifeoma is an Urobo name. So that explanation escaped them again. Say, why did this man come to Enugu? Let us find out. You were transferred by who? You never hear Victor Wafa preach. Is it Oba no the go transfer? Not Victor Wafa, I think it's one Unamre Joseph, one guy in Benin. It's Oba no the go transfer. Anyway, by the way, university lecturers don't go on transfer. So I was not transferred. Because once you see a typical Yoruba man around, he has to fulfill all of this, one of these criteria. Okay, so NYSC. By the time I came to Enugu, I was exactly, I think, 6 years or 7 years post-NYSC. Ah. So how did you get here? I give two different answers, depending on your level of understanding. So there are levels of accuracy. So if you're a man of shallow understanding, I say, you see, you know, life, you know, a man can go anywhere. So it was where the door opened, and then I just came, you know, and I just saw a need, and I just came. But if you have real understanding, say, how did you get here? I said, listen, my friend, so is he that is born of the Spirit. That is, the wind bloweth. I said, God ordered my steps here that I knew long ago that I will minister the gospel. And while I was praying and watching and seeing the things happening, I saw God order my steps. I can give you the details if we have the time. Down to Enugu. That I am here on assignment. When I wanted to start preaching on radio, first time I went to go and check the prices on Cosmo FM, all of them. When I saw the bill, and Benin was offering me almost half of that, I told my friend, go and negotiate for time in Benin, one of the radio stations. We'll start in Benin. So it was because of money. Then around that time, the Spirit of God talked to me again by many ways. And I realized that, number one, you don't limit God because of money. Don't. And number two, God says simply, you shall be my witnesses, first in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the world. I said, how should I jump away from Judea and go and start preaching in Jerusalem, start preaching in Samaria? I said, it's not good. So let us start in Jerusalem. Since I live here, this is my Jerusalem. Somebody asked me recently, I said, when we start TV, we'll go start in Benin. He said, why Benin? I said, because we have been in Jerusalem for a while. Now I have to move to the next level. That time I said it's not about money. It's more about reach. You get my point? We're covering here with way of success, all right? And then after that, let's start the TV somewhere else. As a believer, literally your case is different and you must expect great things. Are you getting my point? You are not limited by circumstances, but God has placed inside you the creative power. Now there's a scripture I read all the time. Maybe we should start from there today. The one I wanted to use is slightly different, but let me start from there. It wasn't the one I planned for, but it will help us. The book of Philippians chapter 3. I won't read everything. It's a verse I'm going to, so let me quickly just jump down to that. Remember what Paul said? He said, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. He was telling them, beware of dogs, beware of the false circumcision. We have the true circumcision. They now say, if anybody had anything to boast in, I had something great to boast in because of my heritage as a Jew, not just as a Jew, but as a zealous one, zealous for the law of the fathers. Now, in answer, but all these things, down to verse 7, it said, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss. Philippians chapter 3. He said, more than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. Now, this is my emphasis, verse 10, that I might know him. This is where it was going. And the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, 11, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Let me just stop there. Paul was explaining something here, that he was going for a goal, that there was something he was aiming for. He said, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I explained to some that this is not just about heaven, getting to heaven and having a crown. Now, that is good, that is great. But that on this earth, there is a goal that people are supposed to attain to. And that is what the Bible calls equality with God. And that is what Jesus represented. What are you talking about? I'm saying being found in exact likeness with the image of Christ Jesus. Are you getting the point I'm making here? That is, that's what Paul was explaining that God called him to. And God called everybody to. That we should get to a point where to distinguish between Christ Jesus and us will be impossible. That every trait that is found inside him will be found in us. Are you getting the point? And that's what you are supposed to strive towards. Because in verse 12, he said, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect. That is, he was explaining to the people that it is possible for you to obtain it on the earth. Because if it was not possible, he would not be explaining to people before he died that he has not yet obtained it. Are you getting what I'm going to say? That is, we are still alive and I'm going for something. But this point I want you to bring out, I want you to understand from here, which I want to bring out. That in attaining to that, what he said you will experience is what he calls the power of his resurrection. Do you get the point? Now, when I talk about the resurrection from the dead, I don't believe we're just talking about dying and then waking up again. Because, think about it, Paul taught a lot about the fact that we will not all die, but we'll all be changed. And he was talking to all believers. He was explaining that everyone that died will be raised up again one day. He wasn't striving so that one day when he will die, he will be raised up. Because he had taught again and again that everybody will experience that. It doesn't take any special effort on your part. Even the wicked man. One day, he will rise up, the Bible says, for judgment, condemnation. Are you getting the point I'm making? So what was he trying to explain? He was saying that there is a power, now get my point, which raises the dead. And that it is possible for somebody to walk in life in that power, which walks above death. Do you follow the point I'm making? That is, there is what is called the power of Christ's resurrection. And that's what Paul was explaining, that's what he was aiming for. That was what he referred to as the resurrection from the dead. Listen, he wasn't saying that, look, let me walk so that one day I will rise up when I die. He preached that everybody would. Am I confusing you? So that's why he was calling the resurrection from the dead. That is the power of the resurrection of Christ Jesus. Are you getting the point? Which is said that you will experience. That you will experience this as you walk up in life towards that image of Christ Jesus. I said this to you before. Listen. When God said concerning Jesus Christ, that this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. He wasn't saying this is my beloved son that I conceived of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I love him so much. He was saying this is my beloved son whom I have tried. Whom I have tested, who I can trust to represent me perfectly on the earth. Do you get my point? We used to think, and which was the excuse a lot of us had for not walking up to certain levels in life, up to certain standards. We thought that, see, Jesus is Jesus, you know, he was God from the beginning. He only laid down his glory. Laid down his glory is not only you. Are you getting my point? Laying down glory is not only. I saw a movie long ago, a comedy, called Life Stinks. Two billionaires had a bet. One told the other one that you cannot last in the slums. Because one of the billionaires was born of wealthy parents. He grew up in good homes. The other one was born of very poor parents, and he grew up in the slums. So he dared the rich boy, you know what I mean, that you can't survive 30 days in the slum. That guy said, 30 days, he don't know me. So they had a bet. And the guy went into the slums and laid aside his glory. Now, what I'm going to explain to you is that he didn't find a place to sleep. Laying aside your glory is not a joke. He went somewhere bragging to somebody that, you know, I'm a very rich man. Just give me a place to sleep. I'll give you $10,000 at the end of 1 month. The man said, give me $1.50. I'll give you a place to sleep. Forget it's your $10,000 at the end of 1 month. He said, I'm a very rich man. The guy said, I'm the husband of Queen Elizabeth. Come on, give me money. That is, laying aside your glory is not a joke at all. When you lay aside your glory, you become incapacitated. That is, one day, two hoodlums beat him. They almost killed him. They didn't know he was a billionaire. They were beating. Why? He laid aside his glory. So the Jesus laying aside his glory is not an only thing. When he finished laying aside his glory, he started asking questions. He sat down, they were talking, he was asking them, please, so what about this? And what about this? Didn't know again. He said, how long has this boy been sick? You know why he asked? He did not know. He told Martha, where have you laid him? You know why he asked? He did not know. So don't just think that, you know, Jesus Christ was not a superstar by birth at all. The Bible said that he became like his brethren in everything, in ignorance, in powerlessness. All those stories you heard when you were children, that when he used to play by, you know, we used to make sand castles when we were children. You know, you dig your foot inside sand and then heap it on it and then remove it. It becomes a small house. He told us a story that when Jesus did his own, when he was a child, birds began to fly out of his own. Listen, my friend, that's a lie. The same way your own collapsed, his own collapsed. Do you understand my point? The difference between him and the other people was that God, being his father, God taught him and trained him. You say, what am I talking about? The same way God gave instructions to Adam, the first man. Are you getting my point? In the same manner, he gave instructions to Jesus Christ, the last Adam. The first Adam disobeyed, this one did not. That's the difference. Because he was his father. So he was literally the son of God in that regard. Are you getting my point? So the father began to teach him, instructed him on what to do and what not to do, what kind of spirit to have and the kind of spirit not to have. And having been tested after learning, God said, yes, good boy, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. God used that expression talking to Jews because they understood the principle behind it. Are you getting the point? Therefore, God now that was the time God committed all judgment to the son. It wasn't like they was born. God just said, anybody that offends this boy, if you just cuss like this, you're in trouble. No. It was a product of being tested. Are you getting my point? And being tried. When he passed, when we're talking about the image of Christ, remember what I explained? That he went to the wilderness and was tempted of the devil. Take these stones, turn them to bread. And he said, no, I cannot do such thing. Because it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Jump down. Everybody will know that you are the babake. That shall not tempt the Lord thy God. Bow down and worship me. It is written. You know? So we say, three powerful temptations. And he came out and he was ready. That's a lie. Listen to me. That is what? A lie. Those temptations were the final. They were not the only. They were what? The final. It's like exam. Forget the fact that schools are overcrowded now. They don't do things properly. Where things work well. One day my student was telling me that this test is too close. The notice is too short. I said, continuous assessment? The lecturer owes you no notice. Where things work properly, the lecturer walks into class and just, maybe he has about 40 students. Okay, just distribute paper. Everybody sit down, 15 minutes. Please answer those questions. At the end of 15 minutes, he collects it, puts it down, and teaches the lecture for the day. It's called continuous assessment. And in most faculties of universities, it carries close to 60%. The final exam is just maybe like 40. So it is in the realm of the spirit. All those three you heard about, they were the final. Jesus had been tempted since God started training him many times. Stones to bread. It may not have been stones. It may have been snails to suya. You know what I mean? So turn these sticks to something. It's not just stones. All kinds of temptations have been coming up. God just gave that one to us as a summary that we might have a glimpse out what his life was like. Because the Bible testified that he in the days of his flesh, all right, cried out to God with what? Much tears. He said he was hurt because he feared. Get my point? He was tempted for a very long time. As a result of that, he attained a particular position. That's why I said this to you again and again. Let me say it again. Every little thing in life is a test. As you are hearing the word, be careful that you don't disobey it. Don't wait for the day or one day God will just come and say, are you ready? Say, for what? Your temptation. We are going to the wilderness. He say, yes, I'm coming. Let me go and wear my clothes. Then you now go and say, please, I'm coming. Wait, don't be in a hurry. So let me arm myself for 1 hour. No, it's not like that. is an ongoing thing. Are you getting the point I'm making? Now, having been tempted, then the day came in which God said, this is my beloved son. He has passed all the tests. I certify him as fit to represent me on the earth. Then he anointed him with power.